Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, happy Friday, LA. Happy Friday. This will recap the entire week. We got a big weekend coming up. Everybody knows what I'm talking about there. The Last Dance on Sunday. Everybody looking forward to that. All right, how about this show? Sam Amick from The Athletic will come on at 7 o'clock. He's got a great article in The Athletic just about growing optimism in the NBA. Andy Bernstein, who I know a lot of you guys know, he's been a photographer in the NBA, official photographer of the NBA, the Lakers, was a part of that Bulls team, covered that Bulls team in 1998. So in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get his thoughts on that documentary coming up this weekend. Our senior shout-out, Francesca Luddick, Tesoro High School, Rancho Santa Margarita. She will come on probably about 7:45 or so. This is how I want to start off the show. So the latest on the NBA, Commissioner Adam Silver, following the NBA's Board of Governors meeting held via video conference. So you had a lot of different, got a chance for media and reporters to listen in on a number of questions everybody has in regards to the NBA. So first, let me just say this before I even get into any of the NBA stuff. It's been one of those, I think with commissioners, Adam Silver has been the one that I feel like sports has kept a close eye on. Okay, well, how is Adam Silver doing it? Since he's been the commissioner of the NBA, I think he's done such a fantastic job, and most people would agree with that. This predicament is different for all the leagues, for every sport, for every individual, for every business. It doesn't matter. Every family. So this is all uncharted water for many people out there. But I want to read a couple quotes from Adam Silver. So one, he said, "We are not in any position to make any decisions, and it's unclear when we will be." One of the things that, and Sam Amick will go deep into all this stuff, but one of the things that we've spent time on is just continue to ask the question, okay, what's next for the NBA? What's going to happen with the NBA? The season has been canceled postponed for over a month now, and we wait on pins and needles when Windhorst comes on and gives us some type of an update. Adrian Wojnarowski, Bobby Marks, there's a number of different reporters that are looking at what's going on in other parts of the world. So Adam Silver, finally addressing things, says, "We're not in any position to make any decisions, and it's unclear when we will be." He also goes on to say, "I would just say everything is on the table." That's when he was asked if there was a set date when a decision has to be made on resuming the season, including moving back the start of next season. So for those who are big NBA fans and are just curious, sports is secondary, but it is something that we all kind of have our eyes on, because we know if sports does come back, then there's some good things happening in the world, or at least more progress being made on COVID-19. One of the things I think that stands out to me with those two quotes, I would just say everything is on the table. You know, my thoughts on that is this. Adam Silver doesn't want to give any false hope. And I think he's been very careful with this. I've said that when Mark Cuban has come on and initially said he felt like they could play in May, and then I felt like we could play in June, or Dana White has represented the UFC and said, we're going to have this fight on this date. When I say just not to give out false hope is you have a lot of people, a lot of fans that are hanging on every word, every decision or everything that comes out of your mouth, every quote that you have, it's going to be blown out of proportion simply because of the circumstances, the time, their position, they represent a league. And I think Adam Silver has been extremely, extremely careful to say anything where he has to hold to it, or he has to backtrack, or he has to go back and justify why he said the NBA, this is the date we're coming, or this is the plan that we have. I'm going to read off a couple more quotes. "As I sit here today, there's too much unknown to set a timeline, and even too much unknown to say, here are the variables." He does know that number of new infections must decrease and testing must be available on large scale for NBA to consider return to play. That's kind of where the whole world is, I feel. You know, I feel like his comments today represent, definitely represent what most of the economy is sitting at. Okay, yeah, well, the economy can slowly open back up, or people can start slowly going back to work under one condition. New infections must decrease and testing must be available on a large scale for not just the NBA to consider return to play, for really the world to just sort of get back to normal. And then one more quote that I want to read off. Sam Amick, who was on the call and will join me at 7 o'clock, asked about a hard cutoff date when they'll have to say goodbye to this season. He just simply added, everything is on the table. All rules are off at this point. My hope, and I think many, many fans' hope, is we get a chance to crown a 2020 champion. And for the Lakers, it's different than the Phoenix Suns. For the Lakers, it's probably different for the Sacramento Kings or the Washington Wizards, teams that didn't have a legitimate chance to win an NBA championship this year. But there's a handful of teams, especially the Lakers, that look at just the predicament the franchise is in. You haven't been in the playoffs in 6 years. LeBron James is having, you know, one of his best seasons at age 35. He had the best record in the Western Conference. So, of course, Laker fans are sitting on pins and needles to just hear what Adam Silver says, if he offers some hope or if it's more pessimistic. I would say that Adam Silver really didn't give out too much. He just continued to emphasize, we get more data, we'll use that data to figure out if we're going to have scenarios out there that make sense for the league. Adrian Wojnarowski, who does all the time, gives these updates on SportsCenter. He does it on First Take, all that. Listen to Adrian Wojnarowski from a little bit earlier today on SportsCenter.
I'm told that the union told the players today that they would expect to know if games are canceled and how many games are canceled by June 15th. And certainly I think that's a date that makes a lot of sense. It would be hard to be that deep into the springtime and have not played games and think that you could make up the full complement of them. I think the league may know even sooner than June 15th, but that was a date that the league or that the Players Association targeted with their players today.
All right, that's Woj right there. So they'll have some kind of answers by that date. Of course, we could probably expect something sooner, but that's all just going to come over time. I have definitely kind of have taken the approach when it comes to sports now. It's like, all right, whatever happens, happens. You know, we want to see. I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that. You know, I want to see sports back again. I want to see the Los Angeles Lakers have a chance to win an NBA championship. But it seems like there just isn't enough information for anybody to make, you know, big time decisions. Actually, this is a perfect segue into this. So Woj also on the agreement with NBA and players regarding pay. So the NBA is making an adjustment on pay, and a lot of that has to do with they're not sure if they're going to be able to play these regular season games out. Here's Woj on ESPN NBA Insider.
It means that beginning with the players' paychecks on May 15th, the league can withhold 25% of their salary, and that will run right through the end of the year. And essentially, it's an escrow account. In the event that the league has to cancel regular season games, they're going to take back essentially 1% of a player's salary per game. Now, if the NBA ends up playing these games, if they resume the season, they play them all, the players get the money back. If they only play some of the games, the players only get some of the money back. But it's called the force majeure, and it protects the league in the event of a natural disaster, and including a pandemic epidemic. And this allows the league ultimately to not have to be chasing players around for the money later, and it allows the players to be able to kind of budget for the fact that they may have to give this money back and not have to do it all at once.
All right, that's the latest right there. And Sam Amick will come on at about 6:55, 7 o'clock, and he'll continue to kind of dive into that conversation with Adam Silver a little bit earlier today and any new information we can get. And also, he has, you know, I mentioned this, his article talks about how there's optimism right now in the NBA that they will be able to finish the season. Well, why is that? What is it that he sees or he hears from GMs, owners, and things along those lines? When we come back, Charles Barkley was giving his take. He was on Hoops Adjacent podcast with David Aldridge and Wos Lambry. And he had specific reasons. First of all, he had his thoughts on whether the season should get canceled or they should continue to try and find a way to play it. So I want to read off that quote. And then he also talks about Adam Silver and just being in this position, whether a quarantine idea would work. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Ladies, whatever you need, just feel free to call in. If you need me to talk through things, relationship that you're in, that you need some advice on, 877-710 ESPN. By the way, another reason to call in. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this LA Times LMU survey. Did asked 1,000 LA County residents to pick their favorite team and their favorite player. And one of the it's interesting because it breaks down every one of them. And I'll do that a little bit later in the show, but I'm going to throw this out there. Who do you think is the most popular athlete in LA? The most popular athlete in LA. 877-710 ESPN. I know that I always have a skew towards the Los Angeles Lakers just because NBA is, you know, by far my favorite sport, but I also know how big the Dodgers are here in LA. Your favorite, who do you think is the most popular athlete in LA? So 877-710 ESPN. You could also hit me on Twitter at Alan Sliwa. But it was interesting. The whole breakdown was interesting. So Charles Barkley, Hoops Adjacent podcast this week with David Aldridge and Wos Lambry, was asked if he'd be okay if the season got canceled. This is what he said. He said, "I don't know if it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to just cancel this season. And obviously it's going to come down to money. I think the perfect scenario would be, okay, guys, first of all, the fans are out of the window. Or out the window. It's not going to be any fans because let's not even talk about football where you've got 75 to 100,000 fans at a game. How are you going to test all those people coming to a confined space?" So I want to stay with that real quick. I don't think there's a fan out there that wants to just say, you know what, let's cancel the season. And that's not me saying that come back too early. That's not me saying don't take every precautionary measure. And that's also not me saying put fans in the stands. Fans aren't going to be in the stands. They're not going to be in the stands for a long time. Eric Garcetti has said this over the last couple of days. This is, you know, it's not feasible to think you're going to go jam-pack SoFi Stadium. Jess, I think you were telling me earlier today, didn't you say Taylor Swift, that concert, that's supposed to be the first big event at SoFi, that's canceled, correct?
2020 tour, including that opening SoFi Stadium. So, you know, that was their big opener. Now, no more.
Okay, so let's just use that as an example. Nobody thinks that fans are going to be walking into arenas or be going to concerts or any of these big gatherings for a while. We've accepted that. So whether even players have said in the past, no, I want to play in front of fans, everybody now knows that this is the new norm. There's not going to be fans for a while. But just to listen to Barkley say that, he just thinks the season probably should get canceled, that it's better that if it did, the worst thing in the world is just to cancel the season. It wouldn't be the worst thing to just cancel the season. I think so many fans, and it sounds like the NBA, I was reading some of those quotes from Adam Silver a little bit earlier today, I think so many of the fans and the NBA and the executives and the owners are just completely okay with, why don't you just kick that can down the road a little bit further? And if you need more time to figure it out, and then it just buys you more time to see if the testing is a little bit better, and it buys you more time to see if that curve continues to go down, those types of things is really the only thing that you care about at this point. And from a sports perspective, when I hear somebody say, well, why don't we push the season? Let's just cancel the season. Let's start focusing on next year. For the NBA, you're 63 games in. You're 63 games in. You don't have much left in the regular season. And, you know, yes, your playoff is going to be completely adjusted, but the way it's adjusted, that's fine. That's all good. Let that playoff be adjusted. You're going to probably have less games. He goes on to say, he's talking about praising Adam Silver, but still also questions the quarantine, if that idea would work. You've got all these idiots and fools and jackasses just throwing stuff up on the wall. One of the reasons I love NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is that Adam Silver says, hey, we'll have this conversation May 1st, because most doctors have said this week, and next are going to be the two worst weeks for the coronavirus. I don't know the answer, but some of this stuff is just stupid. Like, well, we're going to put the teams in a hotel for 2 months. I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, you tell me these players can't see their families for 2 months. I don't think the players are going to go for that. So that's Charles Barkley right there. This brings up kind of the point that I've made for the last couple shows where I talked about it's going to eventually have to come to a point where these players are comfortable with being isolated for a long period of time. Because I don't think you're going to have a season unless something like that happens. And you know all these health experts aren't going to approve anything unless that's the case. The case is going to have to be that, you know, these individuals are isolated for a long period of time. So I do feel like that is, as you read Charles Barkley and you kind of get everybody's, all these different opinions that are out there, and that's really where we are right now. That's all this is. Everybody just has opinions. I do feel that it sounds like there is still a good opportunity to potentially play a season, at least for the NBA. We'll see what happens to MLB. We'll see what happens to college football, NFL, and all that other stuff. But it sounds like there is some light at the end of the tunnel, even though Adam Silver wasn't giving, you know, an incredible amount of details. Sam Amick, as I mentioned, so his article is, can the NBA season be saved? Sources say optimism is growing. So this is what I'm hoping to take out of this conversation with Sam Amick. One of the things I'm hoping to take out of it is, well, what is that optimism? What is that based off of? What are you hearing from others out there that would say, yeah, you know what, there's a good shot at this. And there's also that owners and GMs and the commissioner are going to do everything they can to try and get a season in. There's a lot of money on the line, by the way, and we all know that that typically drives everything, but that doesn't mean you could be careless. CB in Pasadena. CB, can you – you're on the line, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey. All right, dear. Good evening. You're doing a superlative and informative job, as always.
Thanks,
yeah. My favorite player, of course, it was Kobe. And then when Kobe donned the court, sometimes it was a mixed bag of nuts of so many sorts. But I know he was a coach on the court. I know he emulated Michael Jordan. But with his extraterrestrial, electric, and interplanetary, and spine-tingling, and jaw-dropping performances, I will say Kobe has got to be in my top 10 of all time.
Well, hey, CB, so here's a question I have here. So did you, if you heard me, LMU survey asked 1,000 LA County residents to pick the most popular athlete right now in LA. Player that's playing, active playing. Who do you think the most popular athlete is?
To me right now, it would probably have to be King James.
Yeah.
LeBron James, because I'm 6'6", 220. And so LeBron, I have to emulate my game after like LeBron, Kobe, and Michael Jordan. So I would have to say King James right now. I like King James, bless his heart. They were doing so well.
I know.
You know. Huh?
No, I know. I know, CV. I'm with you. They were.
Our season has got cut short. Oh man, we ain't made the playoffs since, you know, it was a horse and buggy days, and then. Now we were embarking on a playoff run. We had a good squad. The Clippers were doing well also. Kawhi Leonard, mm-hmm. like him, too. He reminds me of myself. He's about 6'7", 6'8", the claw. And the thing that amazed me about Kawhi Leonard, I seen him dunk left-handed. I've only dunked left-handed with me twice in my life playing basketball.
CB, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for calling in and giving your thoughts. CB had a lot of comparisons to his own game. With LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard. Must be a really, really good basketball player.
Big baller.
Big baller right there. You know, this is – and I want to actually cut it here so we could go to Sam Amick. But before we do, I'll just say this. So these are the questions about the growing optimism in the NBA, and we'll find out what exactly he's referring to. After Amick, we'll get into that LA Times article like I was mentioning. So LeBron got 46% of the vote of most popular athlete in LA. I was actually a little bit surprised. Lakers and Dodgers. Actually, I thought it was closer than I thought it would be. 35% to 31%. Okay, Sam Amick coming up next. Sam will break down the latest with the NBA and the conversation Adam Silver had a little bit earlier today. So we'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Excited to have Sam Amick on from The Athletic. He's got a great article right now. Can the season be saved? Sources say optimism is growing. Sam, thank you for taking some time and joining the show.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me.
All right, so it is, I know everything in the NBA, really everything in the world right now, a moving target, but let's, if you don't mind, maybe for those who haven't got a chance to maybe read some of your tweets or read the article yet, the last couple of hours, Adam Silver got a chance to address, a number of on a conference call. It sounds like. Can you just give us a little bit of background, some of the conversation from Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting conference call where, you know, one of my takeaways is if you're in Adam's position, it's just not a great time to really pull the curtain back all the way and tell the public about all the different scenarios that you're workshopping and all the different thoughts that might be flowing internally because of the sensitivity of the situation. So he spent a lot of time, I thought, making it very clear that, you know, he had one kind of catchphrase that I thought landed well and that was appropriate was that, they were going to follow that it was about the data, not the date, meaning that, you know, the data relating to coronavirus and the COVID-19 was going to dictate whether or not they can save this season. And they're not going to sit here and tell you, you know, when and if that's going to happen just yet. But it's a tricky line to balance because or a line to walk because they are having very robust conversations about how they could save the season. And there is a lot of optimism. But they also simultaneously have to acknowledge that they are not in control here. So he sounded like not a politician, but somebody who just knew what he couldn't say and was willing to say what he didn't know, but did not have a ton of answers today other than to say this season is definitely not lost and everything is still on the table in terms of ideas.
How much of that approach you're mentioning with Adam Silver, and I think he's been praised for just the way he's handled from the beginning to where we are now, is a lot of it too just not setting up expectations that he doesn't feel like he'll be able to deliver on. And I think that's the best way that you just put it. I can't put a date out there. I got to let the data indicate what the date's going to be. And you've heard Dr. Fauci do this a lot. Every time they do those press briefings, he's kind of said the same thing. He can come up and talk all he wants, but it's the data that's going to dictate when the economy is open or when some of these measures get pushed back a little bit. Do you feel like Adam Silver is taking approach where he doesn't want to also create any false narratives and maybe playing it safe in the public?
For sure. I would agree completely that he's playing it safe. It's kind of the expectation versus results, calculus that public officials or public people are always trying to calculate, which means if you come out with optimism publicly right now, then if and when the season doesn't happen, then you let people down, then you look like you were out ahead of it too much. And even more importantly, I would kind of probably go back to that whole sensitivity element where it's incredibly easy right now for somebody in Adam Silver's shoes to look insensitive. And if you come out and you say, well, everybody on the media call, thank you for joining us. And let me tell you my thoughts on possibly playing in one particular city and having a bubble city and why I think it could work and how we might get our hands on all these tests and test players every day or every other day to make sure they're healthy. You cannot have that conversation right now. Regular citizens can't have easy access to tests, but things could look different in 30 days. Things could look different in 60 days. And that's where I think he's got to keep a lot of those discussions private for the time being.
Sam Amick from The Athletic joining the Sliwa Show. Sam, in your article, you said sources say optimism is growing. Can you just elaborate on that a little bit more? Where is some of that optimism coming from? And whatever details that you can shed, I think would be great.
Yeah, I mean, like I wrote in the piece, I didn't want to misrepresent the. This was not, you know, sometimes we'll do league-wide polls where we track down 200 players and 30 GMs and 30 owners, and that wasn't this. This was a small sample size, but it was a healthy chunk of owners, agents, players, also league officials. And what struck me the most about doing the reporting was that I went in with a negative purview, more so honestly as a citizen more than a basketball writer, and just looking at it and thinking to myself, I do not see how they could pull this off. And then after talking to people, it doesn't, I'll be honest, full disclosure, doesn't mean I even necessarily agree that they might be able to do it or think it's a good idea, but reading the room, there was a ton of optimism, and honestly, I couldn't really run into anybody who didn't feel like if they were a betting man, so to speak, that the season wouldn't be saved. The main thing that I have been tweeting about today and wrote about that I think that we've learned here is that the league's willingness to be incredibly flexible, I think, is an X factor in this situation. I had an owner who has a lot of skin in this game in terms of these playoffs tell me that they've discussed scenarios where the NBA finals might not take place until late October, which is hard to wrap your mind around. Obviously, normally it would be mid-June. And so that's kind of, for me, where I had this aha moment where you go, okay, now I'm starting to see it. If you guys are truly that flexible, and if you're willing to push next season off that much and then kind of figure that out on the back end in terms of what the ripple effect might be, well, then certainly, you know, maybe there is a chance here to save the season.
Sam, just taking that approach there, and this is just from your opinion, your standpoint, do you agree with that? Basically, that flexibility that they're willing to have to do almost anything possible to crown a champion in 2020, and then however they need to adjust to next season, they'll figure it out, you know, kind of kick that can down the road a little bit. Do you agree with them doing that simply because you're 63 games in and maybe this close to finishing the season anyways?
Yeah, I mean, in a vacuum, I do. Now, the kind of disclaimer I would give is that, you know, in an NBA vacuum, I do agree with it. And I think, you know, I understand the strategy behind it. In the greater scope of the planet right now, I have decided as a media member, and obviously part of our job is to give opinion some of the time too, I'm reserving my opinion. And like, it's kind of like Adam said today, you know, we don't have the data yet. So in 2 months, if it feels like they're trying to put a square peg into a round hole and force this thing, they're not considering health first and foremost, and if it feels like they are trying to simply, you know, preserve the bottom line because all these owners and players are going to take a hit, well, then maybe, you know, I see it differently then. But they are, I think, kind of framing this thing in a way where they've bought themselves some time, and it's a waiting game. You know, we're going to learn more next week and more the week after that, and they're going to have to keep reading the room. I mean, there's so many layers to this thing. I mean, you could have your entire show every day be about it, because you have the politics, you have the state-by-state quandary and what's happening in the country right now, and the push and pull between state governors and the president. You know, you have the testing issue, things of that nature. There's just all the way down the line. I had conversations with people today about the idea that a lot of these NBA coaches, you know, they're in their 60s, they're in their late 50s. They've had health problems in the past. You know, we don't have to have this discussion yet, but at some point, again, if they're getting close, I'm nervous that they're going to get somebody hurt here. And it's a little bit like when Rudy Gobert got the positive test. All it takes is one mistake, one person within the NBA getting, you know, hurt, then, you know, that's going to, then suddenly the playoffs look like something that never should have been prioritized.
Sam, that's a perfect transition there. What do you think that pressure is for the NBA? And, you know, I think this is the same. It's interesting because the sports side of it is always going to be secondary. But, you know, we're obviously referencing this. This is part of our job. And I know listeners who are tuning in, they do want this from a sports perspective. But what is that pressure, you think, to you really cannot get it wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a timing thing here, like you mentioned. There's going to be a lot of people with opinions, and there's going to be the pressure from owners. There's going to be the pressure from fans wanting to say, man, how great would it be to have sports again? But also that pressure of you can't get it wrong, because if you do get it wrong, it could screw things up further down the line. And more importantly, you could put folks that are maybe at an older age, maybe aren't in the best health. You could risk their health as well.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, again, just as a person more than a reporter, that's what has me nervous. And I mean, it's, you know, NBA life is no more valuable than any other life. I just happen to know a lot of these people personally. And so I, you know, one guy in particular, I just lately been thinking about is Mike D'Antoni. And I haven't even told him that, you know, this was on my mind, but the Rockets coach, whose team, I guarantee you, they feel like they have a shot at the title if the playoffs can be salvaged. He is absolutely in a compromised age range, a compromised kind of health history situation. Steve Clifford, the Orlando coach, who would also be part of the playoffs based on the current standings. You know, this thought crossed my mind the other day. He's the same age, 58 years old, as Karl Anthony Towns' mother, who passed away from COVID-19 just the other day. And we saw, you know, with Jackie Cruz passing, that, you know, she's somebody who kind of by extension is part of the NBA family. And that's the stuff that it's like anything else in life. Like once it starts hitting closer to home for them, then it's real. You know, I've talked to some players who clearly have apprehension about whether or not it's wise to save the season. One guy who impressed me from a maturity standpoint, and this was all an on-record interview, was Matisse Thybulle of the Sixers, 22 years old, and went to great lengths to say that entertainment does not matter right now, and we need to remember, you know, what truly matters. You know, oh, by the way, Matisse's late mother was a doctor, and I think that certainly informed his worldview. So, you know, a lot of opinions, but the elephant in the room is that from a financial standpoint, the league, the players, the owners, they have a massive amount of money on the line here. And it's just, you know, you got to be naive to think that's not playing a part. And I think that's scary for those of us who are just kind of waiting to see where it goes.
Sam, man, incredible insight. And I appreciate you taking some time and joining the show. But I know there's a ton of listeners out there that definitely appreciate the insight and just really that information. I think we have so many questions, right, and not enough answers, and I think that's going to continue for a while, but at least to get a little bit of an idea of that conversation Adam Silver had earlier today. And like I said, Sam Amick, The Athletic, can the NBA season be saved? Sources say optimism is growing. Thank you for taking time joining the show, and hopefully we can do this again soon, Sam.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right, great. Great stuff from Sam Amick there. Great stuff. And as always, I mean, the guy is as connected as it gets for The Athletic and obviously around the NBA. So I teased this a little bit earlier. I do want to get into this. LA Times had an article. LMU survey asked 1,000 LA County residents to pick their favorite team and their favorite player. We got the results. All right. Some surprises on here, some that are not surprises at all. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
And Sliwa likes hip-hop. I figure this is a good segue to his show. If you're on the drive from the 5 to the 405 to the 10, dial in to 710 ESPN at 6 p.m. After Mason and Ireland tune in to the 8-double-L-E-N. Won't pretend to know what's happening around him. Just listen in and place your bet on the Sliwa Show. Slow it down for Sliwa at sunset. Yeah. Sliwa, Sliwa.
We'll take it, guys. We'll take it. I don't know. What's the number? What's the number they give out, the voicemail number? I forget. I don't know.
They changed it, too, which is kind of difficult.
Well, whoever that was. Say it.
The show right now. No voicemail. Just call. Just call and say whatever you want.
But the voicemail is kind of genius. Like, I love that Mason and Island do that. They got so many different, you know, people calling at different times of the day. I love that they do it. But whoever that was that called in, thank you for doing that. That's fantastic. Did you guys get a chance to hear the quiz that I did with Mason and Ireland right before the show ended?
Yeah.
Curtis, you heard it, right? Jess, did you hear it?
The one that Ireland very surprisingly won?
How did Mace not win on the Wii trivia?
You know why? He gave it away. Why?
Yeah, I think he did give it away. Why? He gave it away because he probably...
It's Friday.
At a Friday, 4:20 passed, and he seemed very, very relaxed on the show. Ireland seemed wired. John was beyond... I would be halfway through a question, and he was like, John. And he'd answer the questions. He swept Mason a wee trivia. How's that possible?
Yeah, that was funny. At this point, I'm convinced Mace is just he's not even trying at your games. He's letting John win.
He's chilling.
He's just chilling.
John,
yeah.
John is incredibly.
That's exactly what he's doing.
John is incredibly knowledgeable in like all these things. Doesn't matter what it is. I think John's just on top of everything. But the weed game. How is Mace going to lose the weed game? I purposely went weed game today so Mace can get his first W. Okay, what are you going to do? Okay, so the most popular athlete in LA and the most popular and your favorite team. So this was LMU did a survey, asked 1,000 LA County residents to pick their favorite team plus their favorite player. 877-710-ESPN if you got any thoughts on this. So Lakers win. I don't know if you want to say win, but Lakers are on top of all the votes. 35% of the vote for favorite team. I'm going to say with just favorite team for right now, 35% of the vote is Lakers. Dodgers was 31% of the vote. And then listen to how big kind of the drop-off comes from here, which, I don't think it's too shocking or surprising, but this just kind of shows it. Rams were 7.5%. Clippers, 6.4%. The Galaxy at 6.2% and the Angels at 5.3%. So these are the most your 1,000 residents are picking their favorite team. So Lakers, Dodgers, Rams, Clippers, Galaxy, and Angels is how it ranked here in this ranking. Okay, let's keep going. I'm going to come back to some points I have on all this stuff. Your favorite player. So pick your favorite player in L.A. LeBron, 46% of the vote. Cody Bellinger, 10.7% of the vote. Kawhi, or actually Mike Trout after that with 6.7% of the vote. Carlos Vela, actually 8.3% of the vote. So he was third in this ranking. Then it's Mike Trout. Then it's Kawhi Leonard with 4.3%. So let me just kind of start off with this. You could just notice some of the players that I didn't name off. And you could also notice, you could definitely notice some of the different franchises that I didn't even bother to mention. Okay. My question on LeBron James is this. So LBJ, 46% of the vote. Would LeBron James be the most popular player if the Lakers were not competing for a championship? This is the one thing that I'll say about LeBron. He is, of course, by far, not just the most popular athlete in Los Angeles. He's arguably the most popular athlete in sports. Didn't you just, maybe a month ago, weren't we talking about the most popular athletes in the world? Wasn't LeBron number one? And I was shocked that it wasn't a Messi or a Ronaldo. Oh, or remember when we did that?
Yeah, so what it was a Bleacher Report survey saying who the best player overall is, and LeBron beat out Messi. Okay. In like the final round, that's what it was. But even still, even then, he's what, 35, and still the sports world essentially is saying he's the best player.
Well, this is why I bring up the LeBron part, because I'm not surprised LeBron's grabbing 46% of the vote. But I do think a lot of that also has to do with this. Last season, I don't know what that vote was at. I don't know if we have something to kind of compare it to. But I will say it has a lot to do with the fact that the Lakers were winning. So he could still be the most popular player, the most known player, the most talked about player, but sometimes it could be for the wrong reasons. The wrong reasons would be in his second year with the Los Angeles Lakers, the Lakers are struggling. They're not playing well. They don't have a chance to win an NBA championship. Maybe they're struggling to make the playoffs or anything along those lines. The one thing that LeBron has not done. And, you know, his window is going to be short. It's not like it was with Kobe or with Magic or Kareem where they got to play all their prime with this franchise. No, LeBron's doing it on the back half of his career. He's got a four-year window to do it in. The first year is already over. We don't know what's going to happen in the second year if we're even going to get a chance to finish out the season. And then his fourth year is technically a player option. So with LeBron, I would say is this. It's, of course, it's no surprise that he's the most popular player in this vote for L.A. But really what it will come down to with LeBron and his legacy here, you got to get a championship, you know, to be considered one of those Laker greats. And again, I'll go back to this. It's not that we're never going to appreciate LeBron James coming here. It's not that we don't love having LeBron here. It's none of that stuff. But there is, you know, to be one of those Laker greats, it does come with a championship. And his popularity is only going to grow. He'll be a lot of fans' favorite player. They'll chant his name at Laker games, and hopefully that's something that we could do again in the near future. But that favorite player, in my opinion, the reason why he dominated 46% of the vote is because the Lakers are the most popular franchise in L.A. He's one of the most popular players in the world, but they're winning. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, you still have to win. You could have all those individual accolades. You can you could be one of those players that is making all the money from a revenue perspective simply because you're so marketable and everything else, but you have to win. And that's what LeBron James is doing in a Lakers uniform, and that obviously has a lot to do with it. Okay, so the other thing is too, I was kind of surprised it was that close between the Dodgers and the Lakers. Now, let me kind of explain what I mean on this. Lakers, 35% of the vote, LA's favorite team. Dodgers, 31% of the vote, their favorite team. It's not that I ever question how big the Dodger fan base is in LA. I know that this is definitely a city that bleeds blue and that cares so much about their baseball team and is appreciative of what's happened over the last 7 years, is appreciative of how much success that they've had. Also heartbreaking losses and not getting a chance to win a World Series since 1988. You could tell by a fan base, by the way, simply because of how passionate they are when they're winning or they're losing. Dodgers, you could tell because they have had incredible seasons. They've had incredible success, but they haven't been able to have a championship to represent what they've done since 1988. So there's frustration in that from Dodger fans. But I was surprised because I thought Laker fans, I thought it was a bigger gap between the Lakers and the Dodgers. I know they're both. I know if you're a Laker fan, you're also a Dodger fan. And if you're a Dodger fan, you're also a Laker fan. A great example of that is go see a Clipper go throw out a first pitch at Dodger Stadium. And what's the result going to be? Typically, they're gonna, not typically, every single time they're going to get booed. Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, whoever is going to be at a Dodger game, if you're shown on a Jumbotron, you're going to get booed because those Dodger fans are Laker fans. And if you're at a Laker game, you're also, there's a great chance that you're a Dodger fan as well. But I felt like the Lakers and the Dodgers, there was a little bit more of a gap. Not much, but if it was 40% Laker fans and 30% Dodger fans, I'd be like, okay, yeah, that's, Lakers have that percentage of, that's their favorite team over the Dodgers. And it's also from a basketball perspective. I have this thing in my mind that basketball comes first in LA, baseball comes second in LA. Not that it's a big gap, but that it's definitely, it's Lakers first and then it's the Dodgers. But that's closer than I thought. That's closer than I thought. All right, 877-710-ESPN. I want to go through more of this stuff. One of the things that is not surprising to me at all, there was one team who's a professional team that has 1.2% of the market. You could use your imagination of what team that is. We'll do that when we come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.